Thank you both for taking time out of your day to speak with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, I'll go ahead and get started. So, Lauren, your short film and The Novice are both about rowers. Is that something you did in your past, or what draws you to that sport?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I took my 4 years of collegiate rowing and kind of compressed it, because I grew up in a podunk redneck Texas town, and rowing is like a pretty East Coast rich sport. So I didn't know anything about rowing. I got a flyer when I went to college, and it was like, join your novice rowing program, no experience required. And it sounded a little bit harder than an intramural to me, and I like a challenge. So I walked onto the team, and I quickly got obsessed with it. And, you know, one novice year ended up turning into 4 years, and we were Division I team. So we were practicing 20 hours a week, 2 a day, 6 mornings a week, up at 5 a.m. every single day for 4 years. So I definitely rowed. And I think my first career is in post-production sound. And when I went to make my first film, I think about a story that only I can tell. And for me, like, there aren't a lot of rowing films. Like, I wanted to put something on the screen and explore the sport in a way that hasn't been before, because the films that do exist, or even watching rowing the Olympics, it looks so easy and elegant, and like, people are like, oh, it looks beautiful. Rowing's beautiful. It fucking hurts. And like, it's a mental cluster, like psychological mind fuck, the sport and the physicality of it, and passing out and blacking out. And your vision is like literally tunneling into pen points, and you can't feel your legs, and you're pissing yourselves, and your entire body's aching. I was sore every day of my life for 4 years. And I wanted to capture that. And so that really became, you know, I want to make this film about rowing. Super ambitious for a first film. Shooting on the water is a nightmare. Again, I like a challenge. So this was a challenge.
So you had to compress 4 years and more of knowledge and come up with a story idea. How long did you spend working on a script? And did you obsess on getting it perfect like Alex would?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Sorry, guys. The first draft I wrote July 2017. I was in London for the Justice League reshoots, and I was doing dialogue ADR supervising, waiting for actors to come out between their sets, and I had all this time, and I started writing like hunched over a computer sitting on a box in this dark trailer outside of a blimp factory. And I wrote the first draft in 3 weeks, and then kind of tentatively sent it out. But over the next 2 years, from that point until it was greenlit, you know, 2 years and a little bit later, I did numerous drafts. Like, I can't even count dozens, 100, who knows. And the script evolved and changed and developed, and wrote in various and I did a pretty big rewrite actually a couple of days before shooting. The second AD was like, just send me the new pages that you have changes on. And I'm like, there's gonna be a big, I've been collecting a lot of things, you know. I was like, Mario, there's gonna be a lot. And I sent him the changes, and 72 pages of changes out of like a 95 page script. And he was like, what the fuck? And I was like, I told you, like, I had stuff coming. So it was a script, making a film, writing a script, it is a living being. It's a living creature. It is evolving, it's growing, it's changing. And it really feels like, you know, from birth to, I wrote the first draft in 2017 to now, it's like sending my kid to kindergarten. You know, it's been this constantly evolving process. And too, with the directing of it, it becomes a new thing. And then when you get to the editing, you write a film 3 times, and you write it, when you direct it, and when you edit it, and what we edited is different. And, you know, yeah, I got your question in there, I think.
Yeah, you did. So, Isabel, what excited you most about the script when you got your hands on it? And what was your casting process like?
When I first read the script, I'd never read anything quite like this. Lauren not only is an incredible writer, but really kind of captured something through her words that I had only ever felt. And I was along for the ride from the moment I picked up that script. And then on top of it, she sent this image book that was like, you know, handwritten with like all these collages. And like, I have like overlaid pictures, Raven drawings, and like pictures in her statement. And I remember just being like, who is this woman? Like, I have to meet her. I have to play this role. Like, oh my gosh. So my casting process really was, that was sent like an audition. So I, you know, recorded the audition scene, but there was another scene in the script that I was like, why didn't they have me record this one? I'm just going to do it anyway. Which was a complete last minute decision with a friend of mine. And I remember I was literally pouring like leftover LaCroix from a can on my body to make myself look sweaty. Cause I was like, I think I should look like sweaty. I have the video of that. I recorded the video, sent it off, and then wrote Lauren a letter, because I I ran like a relay race from LA, from Santa Monica to Vegas, with a group of girls, and ran like 60 miles of the race. And I wrote Lauren a letter that she had to cast me, essentially, because I am the only actress in all of the world who will ever be able to do the physical like strain and you know, the training and everything that I needed to do to become Alex, as well as the emotional part of it. And we met, and you know, she's a Virgo, I'm a Pisces. It was like a match made in heaven. And then she cast me.
So Lauren, what impact did her letter have on you?
Well, it was a collection of all of it, because I was trying to look at who a core, because obviously the first off, yes, she had the audition, right? But I was looking at beyond that. I was like, who is she as a human being, as a person? And she did the two scenes. And it was funny, like the second scene that she actually did was, I had given the casting directors two scenes. And I was wondering why I was only getting one scene back from everybody. But Isabel sent two scenes back. And the second scene that she chose was the exact scene that I had intended for everyone to do. So it was like intuitively she had chosen that same scene that she knew like had the heft, had the weight. And then she got it right. And then even in her audition tape, she said she's dumping fucking LaCroix on it. She had the props and she had done her makeup and she was sweaty and like, you know, and like was wearing the things and all of that together. And then with the letter and then the sort of try-hardness attitude of everything, and then meeting her in real life. And she had this fucking nerdy binder with all these little tabs in it and had everything printed off and all these like little notepads and things. And there was just this level of neuroticism and attention to detail and drive and ambition that I could see her as a human being. And two, like, this is a part, like, I knew whoever was doing this role, like, there's a level of physical commitment to it, because it was very clear, like, there are no doubles. You're rowing all of your stuff. Like, you, this is not a sport you can pick up in an afternoon. Like, you need, you have to start fucking 6 weeks ago. Like, this is something you're gonna have to commit fully to. You're gonna be waking up at 4 a.m. Like, you have to, I needed someone who was be resilient and driven and obsessive, and I saw that in her. Even though she is very peppy and full of life and happy, there's still like this neuroticism that I thought really suited the character, and I was not wrong. So
she mentioned all the commitment and physical work they would take to play the part. What was that like for you, Isabel? How long did you spend getting in shape and learning to row?
I had 6 weeks from the time that Lauren cast me until we were in Toronto. And it was full on, like kind of like a gun going off in a race. Like Lauren like dragged her old Erg machine out from her garage and at in front of her front lawn in Glendale and taught me how to row on an Erg. And then the next day I was waking up at 4:30 in the morning and stepping into my shoes and pulling on my, you know, my unitard or my leggings or whatever, and getting in the car and driving all the way to Marina Del Rey to row for 6 hours with just like a small break in between to like stuff my face and nap for 15 minutes in my car. And then I would drive all the way across LA after I finished the 6 hours of rowing, like in wonderful rush hour morning traffic, because it was only like 10 in the morning at that point. And I would be in West Hollywood doing weights for about an hour with a trainer. And I really took the physical transformation as such a, you know, kind of crash course into Alex's psyche, because I really got to fall in love with the sport and become obsessed with it. And I knew the pressure of leading a movie like this and the amount of emotional growth that this character goes through and change, but at the same time, the physical change I had to go through, and that I had to be convincing as a rower. I had to sit in a boat alongside girls who had been doing this since they were kids, who had done this in order to get into their colleges, and look convincing enough that I could be in that boat with them and could possibly be fighting my way for a top spot. And, a little added competition. I wanted to be better than Amy Forsyth, who plays Jamie in the movie. And, you know, it really kind of gave me this sort of competitive edge that I didn't realize I had. I've always been, you know, competitive with only myself, but I think adding that layer into it actually helped my preparation. And I think made me go harder on myself in terms of what I felt like I could achieve and how far I could go. And the physical transformation really aided in my emotional performance. And I really am grateful in a sense that Lauren was like, there's no doubles. You're rowing every single scene of this movie. And I literally was in the boat with the camera, or the boat had the camera on the front of it. and that was how we shot all the water scenes in the movie.
So I'm assuming, like most projects, you probably didn't film in order. Is that correct? Or do you?
Yeah, we shot. We actually started with Water Week because I think the day after we wrapped Water Week, it started snowing. Like, we had to shoot it then. So it was absolutely miserable. And let me tell you, as a first-time director, for your first week to be Water Week, which is a fucking nightmare, as you can imagine, it was a huge kind of a sink or swim, thrown into the deep end, all the water cliches you can think of. And then after we did the Water Week, we went into kind of everything else. And yeah, I mean, it's really moving by location. In a film like this, we only had, I think it was 24 days in the splinter day, or 25 in the splinter. You know, bunching up all the sort of scenes that were at the school, and then moving to the ERG room, and we had this this creepy ass building that we found that was like 1850s army shoe factory. And the ceilings were like, there was like ceilings, like hobbit ceilings and different levels. And you had to crouch in this thing. I mean, in the film, the thing that they're in, it's like this high, barely above the thing. But that was like, we swear to God, it's haunted. There was like a carbon monoxide leak. There was an explosion. It was freezing cold. It was just a nightmare. So we were kind of moving around between locations and grouping things as we had to, just because we had no time and really no money to do it any other way.
So I'm curious how, as a director and the star, you approach a scene that is out of order, but you have to fit it in the character's emotional journey, like in her like manic state and her obsessive. How do you decide the right degree to be at any given time?
This is why I have my little nerdy tabs in my binder. Honestly, it's because of that. You jump around when you make movies naturally, but especially when you make independent film. And it was really important to me because so much of the movie is Alex's own storm in her own head, was making sure that I knew where I was at what point in the film. And I had meticulous notes in every single tab, every single scene. And it was great because I brought my binder every day to set, and I would look it over. And if I had questions, I'd talk to Lauren about it. But it really was, it's on me at the end of the day, you know, to make sure that I'm where I need to be. And, you know, being guided by somebody like Lauren, who understood all these emotions because she went, you know, through her own collegiate rowing experience, it really helped. Like, I think the one thing that I would say, looking back, I wish I was, you know, I was learning rowing at the same time that we were filming that Water Week still. And I look back at some of the shots and I'm like, I could have done better. I could have done better right there. But that's just because that's part of my personality. And I know that, you know, truly, like, all the prep that I did was the only way that I could have done this movie.
Yeah. And I think too, for me as a director, I think so much I'm directing is you're going into the scene and you're telling your actors where they're coming from and where they're going, if they need to know that information. But working with Isabel, I think having the first week be so kind of in the trenches and feeling like we're going to war together and just a matter of survival, we really, really got close. And I think when we moved into the dialogue scenes and the intimate scenes, and we were able to dig in there and really push each other in a lot of ways. And I think, like, this is a collaborative, and this is my film, this is Isabel, so I really feel like it's our marriage in a way. And to be able to get to a point in a quick amount of time, this relationship where, you know, if I felt like she was taking a scene in a different direction than I had anticipated, if it felt like, wow, like, whatever the fuck she's doing, that wasn't even in my head, this is fucking amazing, like, go with it. Or if it was like, no, I think clearly we need to be here. Like, having that sort of trust in each other to be able to be honest and kind of challenge each other and throw out ideas and sort of be okay with, no, I don't think so, or yes, let's fucking do it. Yeah, I mean, it was hopefully everything I make from here on out, I have that same experience, because it was really quite magical.
I was actually thinking about your future projects. Watching the movie, there's a lot of intense imagery, and a lot of it I feel like could be used in kind of like possession style horror movies. Is that a genre you'd want to explore at some point?
Me? Yeah. And with this film too, at times we kind of shot it like a horror film, but yes, I do. I do have a horror thing that I have writing and whatever. And I think it's not something that I'd want to do next because my taste is so varied. You know, I have psychological, horror, comedy, fantasy, action. Like, I love the full kind of gamut of things. But it does interest me. I think the thing that I'm most fascinated by in life, in films, in whatever I'm watching, is the character. Like, what is driving human beings? What is the psychology behind why we do things? That to me is really fascinating. I love watching people. I love hearing gossip. I love, like, knowing everyone's business and all the drama. not for any reason other than I'm fucking curious. Like, I want to know what makes people tick. I want to know why they're doing things, why they're thinking this way. I love, like, you know, listening to podcasts on sort of neuroscience and reading about trauma and things like that, and trying to understand like how people function. I mean, that to me is, we are the ultimate puzzle, human beings. And luckily, I don't think we'll ever have ourselves figured out. So I'm sure I'll be entertained by human beings until the day that I am no longer one. I got dark.
So after all the work that it took to get the final product, how rewarding was it to make something that not only you're proud of, but people are responding so strongly to, and people are loving the movie from what I can see?
Well, for me, I'll let Isabel speak after me, but like for me, it's fucking great, because I gave up. I essentially had a very good career going, and I stepped back from it. I was living off my savings basically for years, working just enough to kind of keep my health insurance and keep some money in the bank account. But it was a big gamble, you know. It kind of went, you have to go all in. You can't half-ass the shit, and it's all or nothing. And I went all in on it. And being bold and making, you know, I'm not one for subtlety, and the film is not a subtle film. If people are, it's not everyone's going to like it, and I'm okay with that. And I think too, especially last year, it would have been a nightmare in any case, but having been in post-production on the film when a fucking global pandemic hit, like I was finishing this film in my kitchen on my laptop, isolated from the world, and we didn't know if film festivals were going to exist. We didn't know if theaters were still going to be around. We didn't know if we were all going to be dead in a month. Like, it was like this black hole of like, I am doing all this in a vortex and not having the feedback. Like I didn't, the first time I saw the film with an audience was at Tribeca. And to see it with more than two people was bizarre, and to see what people were cringing at or laughing at or going, oh my God, or that for me was super rewarding. And then obviously for the film to be doing well, it seems like, you know, my two goals making this film were, well, one of my goals, I won't say my other one, one of my goals was, you know, I want to be able to make a second film. And so it seems like, knock on wood, that I'm probably going to have that chance. So yeah, it was worth it. I have to say this year is much better than 2020. And what about you, Isabel? How's it feel? All your blood, sweat, and tears.
I killed myself with this movie. I mean, I really did. I'm honestly, I feel like I've earned it. I feel like we all earned it. I mean, it was such a group effort, this entire film from beginning to end. And I really feel so incredibly grateful that not only did this movie become, you know, better than what I imagined when I originally read it, and I love watching it. I mean, it's very rare to do a film that you'll watch over and over and over again. And especially because I'm in it, I don't usually like to watch my movies very often at all. But I love this movie. Like, it's the type of movie that I would go and see and watch. And so to be in that movie, to play this role, to have the experience that I did making this movie, to completely transform my body, my mind, myself, to work with Lauren, which was like a blessing every single day. I mean, it is so rare to work with a director where you feel like you're not just, you know, collaborating as an actor and a director, where I felt like I was a part of the creative process of making this film. Like, Lauren did such an incredible job, including everyone, I feel like, on that process on set. Like, I think we had this passion from every single person, and I think it shows in the movie, truly. So I'm honestly really flattered, really happy, and I'm really excited to see what happens next for us.
All right, great. That should be my time. I want to thank you both again and wish you continued success with The Novice and whatever you're working on next.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Thank you.